We interrupt our regularly scheduled movie with a movie chosen by our one and only sponsor, Lotus Cat Food. There's nothing adulterous or harmful about it.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Nothing adulterous about it.
That's what it said. That's what they actually say in the movie.
Huh. How does that make sense?
It doesn't.
I don't like it.
Blame Dr. Glass, but according to FDA standards, there was nothing adulterous or harmful about it.
I see. Now, we concur with your findings here, sir.
Oh, hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my...
Superior Leader of the Adulterous Committee?
Let's go with that. Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Scotty. Hi, guys.
I
think I misspoke. I don't think it's Adulterous Committee. I think it's...
It's supposed to be unadulterated or something like that.
Unadulterated. Unadulterated.
But she didn't say that. No one in this movie said that properly. Anyways, let's back up. Okay. You know what we're doing today?
Talking trash?
Talking trash food.
I was going to say talking
cat. Cat trash food. It's September. Oh, no, no. Ooh, back up. We're talking trash.
We're talking trash.
That's our show to review, spoil, crap on, debate, and give a second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, often forgotten flicks on the internet. Oh, all while asking the question.
Are you okay?
I think you already got it off the thing here.
I didn't touch nothing.
I was looking at the tracks.
I didn't touch nothing.
I was like, are you moving this already?
No, I didn't.
I worked really hard on making sure you're not messing it up.
My feet are touching nothing.
I don't know about this.
Nothing right now.
Look at you. Look at the rug over there. Look at everything you're doing over there.
Excuse me, sir. I did not do that.
Look down at the floor.
You have just slammed your whole face into the microphone.
I did because I had to make sure that you weren't about to mess everything up like usual.
What? Oh. You know what? I quit. Okay,
see,
I don't want any more parts
kind
of this. Where's my severance package? I'm done with this show and everything about
Let me show you the severance package. It's right near the grinder.
Is that a threat? Are you gonna put me in the grinder?
The grinder.
Cleo.
Okay, what do you want, Caleb?
I'm hungry.
Supper's on the stove.
Ain't you got some jerky?
Oh. Here, you'll kill your appetite with this stuff.
A man's got to have meat.
Well, I do the best I can. I cook you hot meals. Miserable old bastard.
Ah, shut your mouth, old girl, and stay out of my business.
Hey, miserable
now,
old
gather up the tools and come on.
Guys, it's September, and we are celebrating National Cat Month by watching some low-rated cat flicks for the month. Jesus. And because last month was National Dog Month, we are doing dogs versus cats. This week, we decided we couldn't do our regularly scheduled movie, which was Black Zoo, because it was completely washed from the internet recently, and I can't find anything but a Italian version of it.
Mm.
So I had to last
this
minute.
This thing remains.
But I had to last minute find something worthy of talking trash with my baby. And that brings us to this week's movie. We're talking about a movie with a tagline, "They went in people and came out hamburger."
Shut up. That's not the tagline.
That's the tagline. We're talking about 1971's cult drive-in movie sensation, The Corpse Grinders.
Sensation?
Apparently.
Who sensationalized this?
The Corpse Grinders. You know what? It has a 4 on IMDb from 1,747 reviewers. It was directed by Ted V. Michaels? Or Mickles? I don't know how you say it. Director of Girl in Gold Boots, The Astro Zombies.
We watched The Girl with the Golden Boots. We watched it with Mystery Science Theater.
Exactly. Yeah, it was terrible.
Uh-huh.
He also did the Astro Zombies, which Misfits have a song about, right? Am I correct
there? Yes, they do. That's a good one.
The budget of this movie was $47,000.
No. They filmed this in the back alley.
I'm not sure how much it made, but the director said it set box office records when the tickets were 25 to 50 cents. That, even to this day, surpassed even the big pictures today. It made a lot of money. It's the only picture where I made some money.
No way. There's no way this movie maybe made about $38. And that's because they had to charge the cast and crew to actually get into the movie to see it. They charged them the price of admission.
My love, there is two more sequels.
No, there's not. Don't say that.
He made enough money to make a sequel. And then another one was made.
I'm telling you.
So when are we watching the sequels?
We are not.
Oh, I can't wait.
First of all, okay, can I just make this one comment? Is that this movie, as a movie, literally does not deserve the cool title of The Corpse Grinders.
Yeah, that's true.
It literally does not deserve that cool title. It doesn't.
I mean, it's there in the movie. It's just...
Well, it's happening. It's technically happening in the movie, but that name and that title is just so cool, and this movie does nothing cool to warrant that title of this movie.
Yes. Like,
at all.
Well, let me just finish. I only have a little bit left here.
I'm just going to read one little more thing here. Go ahead.
This movie was written by Arch Hall Sr., the writer of EGA. And then it was rewritten by actor Bryan Cranston's father.
What?
Joe Cranston.
Bryan Cranston's father rewrote this?
Yes.
Why would they rewrite it?
Well, because this was a script that was so amazing to the director. When he read it, he said, "How much money do you want for this?" to the screenwriter. And the screenwriter was shocked. He's like, "Wow, no one offered me money like that before." This guy just bought the script outright, but he was like, "Yeah, I'm going to change some stuff. We're going to call it The Corpse Grinders. And I'm going to bring another screenwriter in, and we're going to write this together, rewrite it together." So the director and Joe Cranston rewrote this movie.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know Bryan Cranston had a famous father.
Yeah, his father also wrote The Crawling Hand.
Oh, okay.
I just had to read that amazing information.
So his dad has a resume of movies that we need to see. Is that what you're saying?
I would say that we could literally sit down and watch Arch Hall Sr. and Joe Cranston's entire resume.
Okay.
And also this director's resume as a producer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I loved when I looked into this director. I loved that one of the information things I found out that was at one point in time for 15 years or so, or 12 years, he lived in a house in California that he turned into a castle and lived with 12 women.
Oh, okay. So like kind of like a Hef situation?
Kind of like that. He said, "Look, I didn't put anything on them. I said, look, if I'm going to pay the bills, cook you dinner, and take care of you, I'm just saying, you don't have to sleep in my room, but..."
Oh, wow. So there were concubines. All right. Well, they did that kind of biz back then. You know, it's just kept under wraps a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, not like today where everyone's just doing everybody.
Yeah. At least he was open about it.
Yeah, all right. Okay, good for him.
And the only other information...
Live your best life.
Yeah, exactly. The only other information I have is that our lead actor, kind of, is played by Captain Pike. His name is Sean Kenny.
Yeah, I said this too. I'm like, this guy is a handsome guy, but I would never pick that he's Captain Pike because he had blonde hair when he was on Star Trek.
Well, what Captain Pike are we talking about? The first pilot episode, or are we talking about the Glass Menagerie episodes?
Because
that's where he played him. You know, the one in the box with the light.
Yeah, okay. Okay, then.
He was just like a corpse.
Yeah. All right. He's a handsome guy. I mean, he had a god-awful mustache in this.
For anybody who doesn't know who Captain Pike is, he is the captain of the Enterprise on Star Trek before...
James T. Kirk.
Yes. Okay. A little bit of nerd info for everybody there. Now let's talk about The Corpse Grinders, our movie that we chose for today. Now, I think that the easiest way to talk about this movie, because there is no real way to talk about it. The only real way to talk about it is to break down our cast of characters as well as we think we can.
Okay, first let me just say that this is 1971, right?
Yes.
And you can feel every bit of it?
Every bit of it.
Including the god-awful putrescent wardrobe.
The the camera, the color, the colors, the sets, everything reeks of low-budget 70s. Even the recycled music.
Mm-hmm.
We watched, and I think this is definitely a thing that's kind of sick about us, is that we've watched so many bad B 70s, 60s, 50s horror movies or sci-fi movies that we know almost every tune or score or track that has been reused.
Yeah, we can pick it out really quickly.
We watch movies, and it has gotten to the point where even new movies, movies that we love, we're like, wait a minute, I know that score.
Yeah.
And then I have to go down a whole rabbit hole and finding out, like, oh, this composer is the same composer, and he basically reused his own music and that kind of stuff. The whole time, I was like, I guarantee this song is an EGA.
Which we've seen EGA.
Oh, yeah, we have. That's why I only name movies that we have seen.
Box set, don't we?
It's on every, if you find a cheap box set of films that they used to be thrown in the back of Walmarts or Targets, you just find these like 50 movie collections, and they're probably worth money now, but we have almost all of them.
Yeah, we have a lot.
And I would guarantee every time you find one of these box sets, you're going to find EGA. And I'm going to say that on these box sets, Corpse Grinders probably shows up on these box sets, but I don't know if we've ever noticed it.
You know what? It's probably on one of our many, many box sets.
Which is wild, because the name Corpse Grinders would normally stand out to us. I mean, that's something that jumps out at me instantly, because when I look, here's what happened. When I had The Black Zoo already, and I was very excited to watch it because, you know, it stars Michael Goh, who I love, and he is controlling a bunch of zoo animals to kill people. And I was so excited to watch that.
Okay, but that's not a cat film.
It's tigers.
All lions. Tigers?
Apparently. Mm. I mean, if he's using other things, maybe.
That's a cheat.
It was kind of a cheat, but it was very hard because we've seen so many movies that it's hard to find cat movies we haven't seen. And you were specifically telling me enough with the house cat.
Well, I mean...
And I was like, well, it's not fair because we did house pets for dogs.
True, but...
And so I was like, we got to do house cats as much as we can.
This movie doesn't fit the criteria either.
Okay, so when I found, you know, when I looked down the, you know, fell down the rabbit hole, we were scraping the barrel because we had seen, and this month we have 5 weeks. So kind of like, eh. So when I looked up movies that star killer cats, The Corpse Grinders jumped out to me only because it's not a theme, but I will say that it is a side plot line to this movie. The main focus of this movie is simple. People are using bodies and they're turning it into cat food and selling it on the market, and the cats that eat it kill people. And
well, now when you say kill people,
I will say
you're using that term loosely.
Yeah, they hug their, it's very cute. They hug their throats and gnaw out their jugulars.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I will say though, you can't say that it doesn't happen, because it happens at least 5 times in the film.
It does. There's cat murderers.
It also bookends the movie. So I will say that there are cat murders.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Wait, did I say cat murderers? No, I mean, there's not people murdering cats in this. It's cats murdering people.
Yes. Well, someone does
murderous
kill a cat.
Cats.
There is one cat murder.
Yeah, just one.
I love
people. But I still think that these cats were getting hurt. I do. One of them, I feel
one
like.
One of the cats got chucked to the floor, without a doubt. We saw that. So
I didn't like it.
So that's the plot. But now we have our characters, right? Because this movie is loaded with characters. One of the odd things about this movie is that it's only an hour and I would say about 13 minutes.
It's an, 1 hour, 12 minutes. Exactly.
Well, it said 15, but the trailer's on the end of it, which
that's true.
By the way, insert here, trailer's amazing.
Thank you. this is? It's a corpse grinding machine. A diabolical contraption that turns human bones and flesh into screaming savage blood death. What kind of madness would profit from the helpless victims already endured to their final peace? What kind of mind takes from the grave the bone and flesh remains of the sacred dead?
I feel young.
What are you, nuts? That's a corpse. Now get going.
Cats become savage creatures when they eat human flesh. More spine-tingling thrills, more bone-crushing terror than you have ever seen before. Now, in the corpse grinder, there's never been suspense like this, because there's never been anything like the corpse grinders.
The trailer is probably much better than the dang movie.
It tells you everything you need to know.
I feel like, okay, was this straight to I can't even say straight to DVD because it's 1971, but was it?
I told you, it was a drive-in sensation.
A drive-in sensation.
He said he made money on this movie, enough to make a sequel.
For real, a drive-in sensation. How come he said he made a ton. Bob never did this movie?
I'm shocked about that, too. I'm shocked that we didn't discover it. By the way, as recording, we just watched Joe Bob, and he just pinpointed another movie we never heard of, which was shocking to us. That was just as Looney Tunes as this movie was. I would say that movie was
more Looney Tunes than this.
Unbelievable Looney Tunes movie that I am so happy that I finally now watched, called Coffin Joe. But that's the character. Apparently, he's got a whole series of movies.
Well, first of all, this movie is far too tame, like I said, to have that cool name. This movie is definitely too tame.
Yeah. Of all the movies we've watched in the last 2 months, this is the... You know, it's funny because when I saw that this movie, I looked it up and I was researching it as much as I could. One of the things that I saw in there, it said dark comedy. And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think this is a dark comedy. I think this took itself seriously. And it's only funny now in retrospect.
I think the only thing funny about this, and you and I both laughed, was when the one guy tried to use sign language.
Okay, well, no, I would say there's multiple because there's also a husband and wife with a doll that is also very funny.
Yeah. Hurry up with my food.
Look, I'm hurrying best as I know how.
I mean... That's why
I wanted to break the characters down.
Okay, break down the characters because half of the characters in this movie look like they stepped out of a garbage dump.
Everybody's filthy and disgusting. Everybody looks like that one random person in a Goodwill you don't want to go near. Which we just had that experience recently.
Yeah.
As we were looking for old movies and comic books in a Goodwill.
Bro, you got shit all over the back of your shirt.
Yeah. Putting on every hat, and I was like, good Lord.
Yeah, like those people, the trailer trash, nasty, you know, haven't showered in about 6 months types.
That's every character in this movie.
Every character in this movie. Well, with the exception of the four main people, they're dressed very 70s.
Okay, there's four. I would give five. There's also Mrs. Babadook or Babak.
Babcock.
I thought they were saying Badcock the whole time. Babcock.
Yeah.
Mrs. Babcock. She looks like she's okay. But there's only a handful of people. There's also an office of the unadulterated pet food people. So anyway, let's back up.
That doesn't even make any sense.
You can blame Dr. Glass, but according to FDA standards, there was nothing adulterous or harmful about it.
Now, we concur with your findings here, sir.
One thing, however, Donna was attacked by her cat.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
I think the first characters we meet are a couple who lives on a graveyard. By the way, graveyard is named one of the best names for a graveyard ever.
Mm-hmm.
The Farewell Cemetery.
Farewell Cemetery. It's kind of nice.
I was going to say, it's right next to Sleeping with the Fishes.
Oh my God.
Sleeping with the Fishes Harbor. It seems like something that would make sense in this universe.
Yeah.
So this couple, I don't know if they live in the cemetery or they are the grave diggers. I don't know what this guy does, but we do see that he is digging up bodies. Now, you thought that he was burying bodies in the middle of the night with the smoke machine, but no, he is digging up bodies and bringing them back into his house. Now, he is married to a woman. These two Oh my God. This guy looks like Peter Jackson when he showed up in like Hot Fuzz as like Santa Claus for a couple seconds. He like a madman, like crazy madman. He shows up and his wife shows up and she carries around a baby doll that she talks to like a real child.
She also feeds this baby doll food. She does. Yeah.
This, I will
and
say.
And she looks next level, like bonkers.
She, I don't know where they found all these people. These people, I mean, it must have, that's why it's so cheap. I feel like they
went out onto the street and said, hey, you want to make $5? You want to be in this movie? That's what I feel.
I feel the same way. And there's actually a montage in this movie where they do go throughout the streets killing winos.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this is how they hire people. This is not even a joke. This is how they hired these people.
Can you speak English? Oh no, you can't speak at all? Okay, well, we'll just pretend to be like using sign language with you. Yeah. If this was the worst display of sign language I have ever seen. I was like, is he hand jiving? Is he
I knew you were going to go
I'm
back
sorry.
To the
I can't. Sign. I can't. It has to be. You have to put it on the screen.
I wanted to talk about the grave people before we moved on to the other people.
Okay, sorry. I can't control myself.
I know. I keep your mind on the conversation, Joe.
No.
So the great, these people, okay, why I said that they're funny is because the husband just constantly tells the wife to shut up and make dinner. It happens so often in the movie that I thought we were laughing. Every time he said a line of dialogue, like, stop yakking, where's my dinner? You know,
stop gabbing to me.
Yeah.
I want to tell everybody at work, stop gabbing to me.
Yeah.
Oh, not another one, Caleb.
What are you babbling about?
Well, did you get a hold of him yet?
Landau?
Yeah.
No. Something must have happened, but he'll call.
Well, he's better. With all those bodies in the room, this is a place for stuff to lay down.
Not my supper?
Yeah. How you can eat that salty meat and then a meal, it's beyond me.
Don't gab at me, woman. Just fix it.
Do this, do that. Do this, do that. One of these days when I'm dead and gone.
You come to the right place.
He's in business. He's in league. I will say that we do instantly see a murder of a cat attacking a woman.
Yes.
It starts with that. And yes. I was like, it's just a random death. And I guess that leads to the body at the cemetery. I don't really know. But we find out that this guy is selling bodies to a cat food company that is called, which is our sponsor, like I said in the beginning.
Lotus?
Lotus Cat Food.
Lotus Cat Food.
We know this because the two gentlemen who run it stand talking to each other, making sure that the poster of the company that they work for is hanging right between them.
Yeah, I have lots of questions, you know, like, how did these two gentlemen get caught up in a business such as this?
That's a great question.
You literally can be pulling any scam on earth, but you're pulling the scam of feeding cats this particular food, which is people.
Okay, so these two guys are our main villains. Everybody could be seen as a villain except for maybe three people, four people. I would say that these two guys are our main villains, though, and both guys are such weird choices for villains. Like, one guy is the head villain you see in every movie or anything who's just going to turn on everybody really quickly. He's the one that wants the money the most. He looks in the camera every time he does a line of dialogue that's like, you'll get your money soon, real soon. It's going to be in the basement.
No, he says
you're
going to
kill you.
Get what's coming to you real soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, that's not sus. Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and take off. Like, he tells the guy who's taking the fucking bodies out of the ground for him. He's like, yeah, you're going to get what's coming to you real soon. Yeah. Like, bro.
You think I was going to, what do you think I'm going to do? Take advantage of you? No, I'm going to give it to you when you turn around. When you least expect it, you're going to get your money.
Like, what is it? First of all, it sounds like a major threat.
Yeah,
okay?
Everything he's saying, I'm like, Jesus.
Like, major threat.
First, I'll collect mine, and then you'll get yours. Yeah. that you've been telling me for weeks. You owe me for £2,500.
The longer you wait, the more you get. Trust me, Caleb. I'll make you a lot of money.
That's what you keep telling me. Next time out, no money, no meat. I want everything that's coming to me next trip.
Sure, Caleb. You'll get everything that's coming to you. Just like I keep telling you.
Don't ever try and cheat me, Landau. The cops might be interested in knowing what you're doing with them bodies.
You'll be hearing from me. And there'll be plenty of money for everybody.
Well, his partner is the drunk Looney Tune idiot kind of character, where he's the one that's sweating all the time. He's freaking out. Now, I would say that the one boss, the main bad guy, he has stacked the cat food company with, I don't know, crackheads. I don't know what's going on, but he has two associates. He literally, the only people that are running this business, these two guys, and they have a woman. I don't know what her job is. She has no leg and she's walking around with a...
She's hopping around with a crutch. And she looks like Carol Burnett, except more like completely like more loony. She looks like Carol Burnett in the movie Annie in the 80s. She looks like her.
It's like what happened to her after Annie.
Yeah. And her clothes are tattered. Like, I'm telling you, these people stepped right out of the garbage dump.
It's insane.
Her clothes are ripped and tattered. She can't speak. She's mute.
She's mute. And this is the character you're speaking about, where he does sign language, but he talks right into her face while she's supposed to be seeing the sign language he's doing.
Yeah, like, I think that she's supposed to be able to read lips, but, like, the sign language that he's trying to do is, like, next level. This is, like, Danny and Sandy hand jiving.
That's what I was going to say. It's just hand jiving from Grease. It's just, he's doing the same motions for every line of dialogue that he says in this movie.
I'm like, none of that makes any sense.
He's doing, like, the Mo hitting his hand, like, whoop, whoop, whoop. And he always does the fingers, too.
It's literally the worst display of trying to do freaking sign language I've ever seen in a movie, period.
It's hilariously
offensive.
Like,
why even put it in there if you can't sign? If you can't sign, don't put it in there.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Did he not realize that reading lips was a possibility?
Right. But also, maybe don't make her mute. I mean, it wouldn't matter anyway.
It doesn't matter.
She has nothing to do.
So this is the one character that I thought was coming back in this movie, because he... oddly has taken a liking to this woman. I don't know why, because the other associate is like, she creeps me out. Why is she here? Why do you have her? And he's like, I told you to leave her alone. There's a few times where he like threatens him. I told you, leave her alone. She's with me. So I thought this is like, his mother.
That's like, yeah, I thought like maybe his sister or his mother or something.
Nothing.
No.
Never comes back.
Nope. There's literally no reason for this woman to be in the movie.
Yes.
But the other associate, or if you want to call him that, he's a janitor.
He's the janitor.
First of all, he looks like an older version of DJ Qualls. And
he does look like DJ Qualls.
He's literally a sniveling, like groveling, whiny, like scared of his own shadow little dweeb.
Yes.
And they bully him and make him do things, and he just takes it until he doesn't take it anymore.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. Basically, anybody can go, and you kind of see that he's just setting people up to be like, oh, I'm going to kill you. So, of course, he does that to him, too. He's like, I told you I'd fire you. And the main guy's like, why do you keep him around? Someone's got to mop the damn floor. I don't know. He never goes down where the bodies are. So I have no idea.
Right. So they're grinding up human beings. And this guy, does he not know what kind of company he works for? Does he think they are genuinely making cat food there?
He honestly says, I'm excited to go downstairs. At one point, because the guy's like, all right, we don't need the mop guy anymore. Let's kill him. And so he brings him downstairs. Let me show you the machine. You're going to learn a lot about what we do around here. You're going to get a real close look at the machine. And he does that. He literally walks him down there and kills this guy. And I was like, okay, what was the point? Nothing else than just to show that these guys are bad guys.
Yeah.
And they're picking those bodies up, refusing to pay, by the way, to get the bodies. This guy's weighing the bodies and telling them how much money each weight is like costing. And they keep going, we're going to give your money soon. We're not going to betray you. We swear, you know, the whole thing. And he keeps loading up the bodies into this truck.
This is the podunk nasty guy that looks like Ogre from the Revenge of the Nerds.
And so we just know that he kills the mopper. Like, he's going to kill this guy, too. The janitor-esque guy. He's going to kill the guy at the cemetery as well.
For sure. But then I said to you, I'm like, why don't they just cemetery hop and rip out the bodies of other cemeteries? Why is it just this one cemetery?
Well, I guess what also bothers me about these kind of movies is, like, you have a good thing going on. Who's going to catch on? Why even screw over the cemetery guy? It's a steady supply. That what we hear from the two villains is that everything's fine, no one's going to catch anybody, and sooner or later we're going to have enough money so we can go and flee to Europe together. Is that what he says?
He said that he says we're close to our retirement, a couple of more jobs, meaning I guess murders or whatever. A couple of more, and we should be able to retire and run off to Europe and leave this place behind. So okay. I'm just like, okay, how long have they been doing this?
Yeah, and I guess the thing that's even crazier is what we find out more and more as the movie goes on is that this is the highest selling can of cat food.
Yeah, now I have a question.
It's expensive gourmet stuff.
Is it, though? Because
all the crackheads are buying it for their cats. They buy better food for their cats than themselves.
Before we get into more about the cat food, let's talk about the doctor and the nurse.
So that's why we find out this detail, is because heroes. This is another couple of characters we have now.
These are the protagonists.
Yes, this is the actor who plays Captain Pike. He is a doctor, and his nurse is also his girlfriend. Now, I was waiting for her to start singing, "Down on Skid Row." I was waiting for that the whole time.
She's pretty, this girl.
She reminded me of her.
Not at all. But go ahead.
Audrey. Two.
No, she did not at all. This girl did not look like
her. She has the hair. She has the big hair. She has the big boobs. Am I correct here?
Just because you have big hair and big boobs does not mean you have the same face.
I didn't say the same face, but it reminded me of her. And they were literally in Skid Row. And the only thing that's different here is that instead of Seymour, we have her actually with the dentist. But the dentist doesn't seem like that bad of a guy. And he's like, I lost another patient today. Ugh, just a bad day all around. In the doctor's office, she's feeding her cat. In the doctor's office.
Okay, first of all,
this is a can of cat food.
This is supposed to be a hospital. You said it was a hospital. So they're at a hospital. Why is the cat in there?
I don't know. That's my point.
It's an examining room. Why is the cat in there? So she.
Well, this is the scrub room. This is the back room where you scrub and stuff. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of like not sterilized to have a cat and a can of cat food being served.
No.
She feeds the cat during this whole sequence. The cat won't stop meowing. So you kept saying, what is this movie? Why is the cat not shedding? Why does he keep meowing? And I said, well, what has already occurred in this movie?
He's
what do you think is happening?
Mental.
Yeah. So sure as hell, the doctor has
sinking into madness.
The doctor has lost a patient. He's having a horrible day. And now the cat attacks him during this sequence.
I was like, okay. I see how they're incorporating this. I know exactly what's happening here. But they could have taken this a little bit further. I'll talk about it later. But yeah, the cat attacks him, but didn't eat his throat out or anything.
No, because she comes and stops the cat so he can throw him off.
Yeah, but the cat, you know, I would feel like if the cat's eating this cat food and, you know, some biz is going on with the cat food and it's making the cat nuts, why would the cat just give up there? You know, usually they come back and they don't stop because cats are already fucked in the head anyway.
I will say that this cat never comes back after this.
Right. Sequence. Why? Because it feels like once, like, okay, so you try once and you get shooed away and then you're done. No, if you're crazy and you've gone mental and you're like zombie-like, you don't stop. I mean,
they're not zombie-like.
They're supposed to be zombie-like.
It's not zombie-like. They say that literally if they start eating a certain thing, they become used to it, and it drives them feeling like they need that thing. So they're drawn to their new food source because all these cats in town are eating this can of cat food that has people in it. They're starting to become more and more ravenous toward humans. That's what they're saying. Also, am I wrong in thinking that there's another couple of characters, which is a husband and wife that have something to do with the cat food industry. And one of the husband of this woman goes missing, and they go and investigate this weird occurrence with this cat, and that other people are dying because of the cat. They go to this woman's house, and she's like this old woman, lives in this really nice house, and she's watering her plants, and she says that it's catnip. That the plant makes catnip. And it made me go, are they also mixing in catnip with the meat?
Well, they do show them pouring something into the machine. They don't really say what it is.
I mean, that feels like that's the big plot here, because I don't know why this guy's like, we find out in a flashback after the scene where, like, we meet this woman, you kind of find out in the scene that they also killed her husband.
Right. So he was supposed to be an investor in this company. He found out some shady stuff was going on. He's like, I don't want no part of this at all. So he's going to walk away. And he says, in fact, I'm going to call the police on you. And they strangle him to death. He's
done. And they throw him in there. And I was wondering,
they throw him in there. Now, how long has this been? Because apparently they have been making a lot of money doing this with the cat food, and they're about to retire to Europe. But how long has this man been missing? Because his wife was visited by our doctor and our nurse, our couple, and they realized that the cat was, you know, the nurse's cat was eating this cat food and something's wrong. So yeah, they started investigating all of this.
Yeah, there's a couple more murders that happen, and they bring them. There's an old man. This one random crackhead looking woman is laying in bed, and her cat, there's only cans of the cat food all over the floor. The cat's like, there's no more food. She looks like she's just like tweaking. And the cat jumps on her and kills her. And there's an old prospector man outside. And the old prospector runs inside and throws the cat and kills the cat, apparently. And finds that woman murdered by the cat. So he goes to the doctor and tells him everything that occurred. And they're like, that's weird. We also were attacked by our cat. And, you know, he's like, I gave that cat a good whacking so I can bring the dead body in, the cat's body in, and they can check it out. So he does that. He does an experiment, and he starts falling down the rabbit hole where he goes to investigate what he's piecing together is the cat food is the link.
Right. So my question here is that this lady, Miss Babadook or Mr. Babacock or whatever, her husband has been missing. Who knows how long.
Okay.
And she never called the police?
She has so during this movie, there's a random gentleman in a brown leisure suit.
A turtleneck.
Watching everybody.
And it's the 70s.
I was like, what's going on? Who's this guy? So I just said, I guarantee he's a private eye working for Badcock.
But this is a missing person. I mean, she thinks this loony of a wife here, she looks like she just stepped out of, like, you know, some kind of, you know, go-go dancer, you know, establishment. She doesn't even bother to, like, call the police. We don't see it. And she's not even, like, remotely concerned. Like, she's like, oh, I just wonder, you know, he left so long ago. When is he coming back? It's like they make us assume that he had just left this morning. It's weird. Yeah. Like, how long has this guy been missing?
Yeah,
he's ground up in a freaking grinder and fed to cats already at this point.
Yeah, we don't know. It's been a bit, though. And I love how we didn't know what was going on. We're like, who is this woman? Who is her husband? They keep mentioning him.
Yeah, he was the investor.
And then we finally get a flashback, like, near the end of the movie. I was like, why didn't they just put this in order?
Right.
There are more and more deaths. They actually go to a company that is, like, I guess the company that allows these companies to run.
This is the adulthood ministry of
the unadulterated.
Yeah.
they have a random sequence where the secretary who works at this company, while they go there, the doctor and the nurse, to investigate, The nurse just, we watch her entire walk to her house, watch her get undressed into her underwear
she's
and her
bra.
She's
not a nurse. She works.
I said a secretary for that guy. Oh, the nurse and the doctor go to that office.
Okay, yeah, she's
the unadulterated cat food company. And that woman, we watch her leave the job as a secretary, go home, undress, sit in her underwear for no reason, and get a Budweiser, and then lay down on the couch. And at the same time she bought the same cat food, she does not open it, but for some strange reason her cat is licking it.
I guess the film wanted us to believe she opened it.
She did.
But she literally just went to the fridge, put the can of cat food on the counter, and walked away. And the cat was licking the top of the can. There was no food in there. It wasn't open. So what is he eating?
I guess this is what angered the cat enough to go and kill her.
Yeah, he attacked her. But first of all, they didn't say she was dead. They said she was attacked. But they didn't say she was dead. They didn't say that.
I thought that when he got the phone call later on, because they asked her boss to investigate this company. And he says, you know, some companies run illegally, but we would know. And so it could run illegally. And I was like, it can't be illegal because everybody's buying it. And everybody has mentioned that it is the most gourmet, expensive cat food.
Okay, yeah.
And I was who's even canning it?
Who's
don't even know who's doing this, but
yeah, he does call, know.
Is what I was going to say.
Who's canning it? Who is canning the food? Who is distributing the food? What is going on? What?
Who's driving it to places?
Like, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
what's the operation?
Where's the operation? I mean, all we have right now is a human being grinder down in the basement.
And we have to point out that they're sticking full bodies, clothed bodies.
Yeah, with clothes and everything.
Into the machine.
Yeah.
And it is making the refried beans come out.
Yeah, and it looks like diarrhea.
It looks so funny. It just looks like ground meat. But I was like, someone would have to have noticed that there was jewelry. Oh, clothing.
Yeah.
You know, other things in this processor coming out of it. It has to get caught all the time.
I mean, we don't know, Scott. There could be, a filter.
You know what's funny? There must be, because later on we see two barrels of body parts. And I was like, how does that work? They've been shown to stick entire humans into these machines.
Yeah, with hair.
With blankets on.
Blankets, underwear, socks.
Yeah, and I'm like, where's the arms coming from? Are they chopping them up now? Right. Are they having problems where the machine's like, I don't like this part?
I mean, are the socks the flavor? I mean, what's going on? Because I don't understand why these people, why are you leaving them fully clothed?
I don't know. I have
no
idea.
It's next level bonkers. And we're hyping up this plot because literally it is the most boring movie of all time.
I wouldn't say it's boring. I was watching it just fine. I was like, huh. Okay, I'm in. I'm invested in this weird thing. Well, I will say that the boss from he calls them and says, hey, they're running legally. Everything's fine. Everything checks out.
How, though?
And then he goes, oh, and by the way, my secretary was, I thought he said killed by the cat, our cat.
No, she was attacked, but she survived that.
She did?
Yeah, they didn't say she was dead.
All right, I'm good.
Not that it matters, because who gives a shit? So far we have, what, three victims?
Like, he just met them, and he says the woman's name, the secretary's name. By the way, Janice is mauled by her cat last night. Okay, see ya, Doc.
Why is it gotta be Janice?
I'm just laughing, but I was like, why would he even tell him that?
Blame Dr. Glass, but according to FDA standards, there was nothing adulterous or harmful about it.
I see. Uh-huh. Now, we concur with your findings here, sir. Fine.
One thing, however. Donna was attacked by her cat.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
What's the report?
They're clean, Angie.
I don't believe it.
Ironic, though.
What's that?
Well, the system secretary was attacked by her cat last night.
Oh, no.
Maybe because...
He's like, it's legit, and by the way, her cat, the company that I'm investigating for you is a cat company, and her cat attacked her, but everything's okay. Everything looks peachy.
Yeah, well, the nurse and the doctor actually go to the freaking plant, or if you want to call it a plant.
Yeah.
Of the cat food, the Lotus cat food, and they meet our two, you know, main bad guys. And they say, hey, you know, I want to get a case of this cat food from you. Is there any way I could buy it from you right now? And I guess they give it to them. We don't actually see them giving it to them, but they do tests. The doctor does tests on the cat food. And the tests come back fine.
Yeah, I love that when they go and investigate this, they're saying that they're going on a vacation and they're going to feed the cat or something. And then the one guy is like, she knows everything. We have to kill them. And the guy's like, calm down, you idiot. They just want to buy some cat food.
Yeah, like at this point, if you've been doing this long, who knows how long, you should be desensitized to anything.
Yes.
Because you've literally been murdering people and chopping up bodies for who knows how long. And you're feeding it to cats. Cats are becoming crazy monsters and killing people over this cat food.
Yeah, and no one tells them that, by the way. No one tells the two guys doing this company, hey, by the way, cats are killing people.
No, I don't even think the main two characters ever say it.
I don't think that anybody ever tells them, yeah.
After visiting, you know, the Looney Tunes Babadook lady, Babacock or whatever, they know something is going on with the two goons or two bad guys, and they don't even call the police.
No, because even, this is another weird thing. The main doctor tests the pet food. He says everything checks out. They're not bad guys.
Right.
And he says, I don't know how he tests the meat in this can and doesn't see that it's human. They actually say, yeah, it could be. And he's like, everything is okie dokie. And she's like, yeah. I don't believe it. I feel that something's wrong. I'm going to investigate further. You know, she's like, I don't believe in anything. And can we also point out the weird cat food guy's business? Because they're knocking off people who are saying anything about them. And no one notices the disappearance, and they refuse to pay the guy who's giving them the free meat, right? And so you think that they would like keep him a part of it, but for some reason they're paying a hitman, because they also have a random hitman. There's that sequence where they go around killing winos and bringing them back to the factory.
Right.
I was like, how are you not killing this guy?
Right. I mean, seriously though, with an operation such as this, they could easily have a team of people just going around grave robbing and just pay them. And,
yeah, just pay them.
And keep the operation going.
Exactly. But
for whatever reason, they want to retire these two idiots. And that's where the comedy, I think, comes in, because we're like, this is the plot of this movie. What the devil is going on in this movie?
I feel like we did ourselves a disservice that every time he says to somebody, you know, oh, I'll pay you real good, you know, that kind of stuff. When he says that,
I'll
take care of you. They flash the grinder and the meat coming out. They flash it constantly during the sequences. They flash
it on the screen so much in this movie. I'm like, okay, we get it.
It adds to the humor.
Yeah, we get it. Like, we understand what's going on here. Come on.
Oh, you're going to get a real good look at the grinder in the flash. Just over and over and over. They do it so much. It made me laugh really hard. I was like, okay. This is funny, but I know it's not supposed to be. I think it's supposed to be creepy.
There's no creep factor in this.
I'm just saying, I think it's supposed to be creepy. I don't think it's supposed to be funny.
I mean, I don't think we're supposed to laugh. I mean, there are scenes that I was laughing and I'm like, I don't think I'm supposed to be laughing at this.
I have no idea. The nurse, she does go and investigates on her own. She goes to the factory.
This is the shit that dumb broads do in these kind of movies. Like, oh, okay, well, you're busy and you don't want to help me out. You know, you're my boyfriend and stuff. So I'm just going to go ahead and take a taxi over to these two bad guys and, you know, snoop around all by myself. No weapon or anything. I'm just going to snoop and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
I wanted her to get killed at this point because she's stupid.
And she does get taken hostage by the one creepier, sweaty older guy of the two bad guys. And I didn't see this coming, but he turns into an extreme pervert for no reason out of nowhere. He ties her up and puts her on the grinder, and he tells her to shut up, that he just wants to love her.
He just wants to touch her.
Yeah, touch her and don't scream. And he literally mocks almost grabbing her breasts. And does rip her top off and start grabbing at her out of nowhere.
It was very, it was too spontaneous and like off-putting. I didn't know where this came from because that's not at all what kind of movie this was.
Yeah, it just came out of nowhere.
But it gets diffused super quick because the other bad guy comes in and says, you know, what the hell's wrong with you? And he kills him.
He shoots him, and then and I love this, by the way, because the movie didn't have time to digest it.
But
they didn't have time because that guy had stolen all the money and wanted to go on the run. He was going to leave because he couldn't take the pressure anymore. And then I don't know if in his sick mind he thought, maybe she'll go on the run with me. I don't really know what his thought was here.
Oh, because he's such a good man.
He had all the money in his pocket, and then the other guy comes in and shoots him and sticks him in the grinder.
So does all the money get shredded?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, all the money was on him. So he literally is destroying his profits. And he turns around to now kill her. She gets out. She gets out. We thought she was going to kick the guy into the grinder, but the other guy's doing it for her. And while he's doing his little monologuing, she's able to like get off the grinding platform and get to safety. And her boyfriend, the doctor, runs in at that same moment because he had found out that she went there.
I mean, does she run up the stairs? No, she doesn't run up the stairs. She does the dumb broad thing.
She's kind of in shock because she just watched a guy get grounded up and shot. So she's kind of in shock against the wall. He runs in and he gets shot instantly and falls down the stairs. I was shocked by this. I thought, oh my God, they just killed the main guy, but he's not dead, but he does look like he got shot in the chest and he should die. But he comes over and the main guy, the main villain, does a giant screaming monologue. And I thought, yeah, this is the stuff. This is the stuff I wanted this whole movie. He is screaming.
I have stuck you in the grinder, Moppy, and I'll watch the blades rip your body up and tear you up, Moppy. I'll help you, because you're nothing, Moppy. You're cat food, and yet you are Babcock, or Caleb, or Cleo, and you're nothing. No one's gonna stop me, Moppy. No one's gonna stop me. I'll get it all, the money, everything, because you're nothing.
He's about to kill him, but that exact moment, the detective or private eye comes in at the top of the stairs and they have a shootout and he shoots and kills that guy, the main villain. He falls to the ground and for no apparent reason, all of the killer cats in this film are inside the factory and they eat him while he's laying on the floor.
Finn. This movie was an hour and 12 minutes of what the fuck. There's nothing.
I'll help you because you're nothing, Moppy. You're cat food because you're nothing.
Like, it's just so cut and dry. This movie wasn't even a cohesive film. It wasn't a cohesive story. It was just a series of events. It was just like watching things happen on a screen and like nothing was warranted or came from it.
I'll help you because you're nothing, Moppy. You're cat food because you're nothing.
Or was really at all even worth it.
Oh, see, something's wrong with me. I think I'm sick in the head because I enjoy shit like this. Like when we are watching it, I was laughing during it. I was smiling a lot. And there's something weird about these odd 70s grindhouse films that are so weird. I don't know what it is about it, but I found myself going, yeah, I'm in. To the whole movie. I was like, yeah, I'm on board for this crap. And it's just like Manos. Manos is one of the worst things. I can't get enough of it.
I know.
It's so terrible.
That's one of our guilty pleasures. It's so bad, it's good.
I know, like, it's because of Mr. Science Theater, which I wish Mr. Science Theater had done this movie as well.
Oh, my God.
And maybe they have. I have to look into it because I would definitely rewatch this with Mr. Science Theater.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to. There's no nudity in this. There's no real swearing. There's nothing like that.
People just get in their underwear.
Yeah, in their underwear. But it's just, this movie was pretty bare bones.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, like it didn't have any creep factor. It didn't have any horror factor. It was just like, okay, we keep seeing the same shot of the duty, which is supposed to be human, you know, human innards and human flesh and stuff grinded up coming out of this machine. But they just kept showing the same shot of like the duty coming out of the machine. Yeah. And it just looked like poop. And I'm just like, all right, I've had enough of this now. And this is only an hour and 12 minutes. So I shouldn't have been, you know, at this part of the, you know, the third one in, the third shot of the duty coming out of the machine. I shouldn't be like, oh, come on, I'm sick of this. But I was.
I wasn't. Yeah. I never was exactly sick. I was kind of like, what? What? Okay. Okay. How's this going to end? Like, what? When the guy got shot, I was shocked. I didn't know what the hell was about to happen.
Yeah. Well, they also, the two bad guys also kill, you know, the dirty, nasty scoundrels that are the wife and the husband.
Oh, I forgot about that. That they do kill them as well.
Digging up the bodies. They kill them. So that's like their bread and butter, too. So they're gone. But the worst part is like,
they're like cleaning house.
They're just cleaning house. But like, it's crazy. I just don't understand how when they tested the cat food, nothing came back as human remains.
That stuff did like, really. And they even checked the stomach lining of the cat who got killed, and it would have, they would have to know that, they, I think that's how they knew the pet food was in the stomach. But
well, yeah, but
then I was like, but it's not coming back human.
And they're also grinding up these people with underwear on. So like they're having their,
it has to be.
You're telling me that not a shard of freaking Hanes whitey tighties or whatever is coming through here? Like they don't just disappear. It's fabric. Yeah, I mean, these cats aren't digesting whitey-tighties.
I just think of...
tighty-whities or whatever.
Yeah. I just think of the end of Naked Gun where he's eating the hot dog at the stadium and then he has the guy's finger with the ring on it in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
From earlier in the film. That made me laugh. I think about that every time I watch these type of movies. I go, no chunk is coming through. Like, right. Where's the bones going?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Like,
like what is the bone happening here? The marrow? Like, I don't know. But it does make me question, like, I wonder what the original story was to what they wrote. Like, what were the differences in the two scripts?
What did
Joe Cranston write?
Joe Cranston, my God.
All right, so what are you giving this out of 10?
Ah, this movie is terrible. It's a 2.
Oh, wow. I kind of want to give it a 4.
Ah.
I kind of enjoyed it.
Scotty.
I kind of enjoy how stupid and bad it is.
Oh, Scotty. It's bad.
I think it's so bad it's good. I think it's one of those type of things.
Oh, no.
It's so weird.
I mean, we're literally over-describing this movie. There's nothing to it.
There's nothing to it.
There's nothing!
And I kind of love it. And I know that at this point in time, I have edited in probably 50 things that made me laugh during this movie.
Oh, all right. Well, 50, that's a stretch. This movie's only an hour. Christ's sake. That would mean every line of dialogue of grotesque, awful dialogue.
Every line that the husband
put the whole
says
movie
to his wife.
In there.
I'm hungry.
Supper's on the stove.
Ain't you got some jerky?
Oh, here, you kill your appetite with this stuff.
A man's got to have meat.
And everything that the guy, the killer, says makes me laugh every time.
Sir, you want to see me, Mr. Landau?
Got a better idea, Murphy.
You can't!
Watch me. Have the others left with her?
Yes, sir.
Fine. Yes, Murphy, I think we just might put a new plan to work. You've always wanted to see the back room, Willie. I'm going to show you. Just you and me.
You don't have to do that, Mr. Landau.
Oh, but I want to, Willie. I want to. I'm sure you'll find it very interesting.
Well,
I want to give it a 4. I know it's a 3. I know it's a straight up 3.
You're too generous.
Do you
want
to put it on the list?
Yes.
Where do you want to put it? In the top 10s or top 20?
I feel like this is a top 10er.
Oof.
This movie's bad.
Well, what would you... I mean, look, I think at this point we both agree that War of the Gargantuas really shouldn't belong on here. And whatever happened during that movie, we were like, we hate it.
Boot that off.
Yeah, it's a 10, so I'm going to boop it off. Now, the black...
What's an 8?
Sasquatch Hunter. Way worse.
But at least I laughed a lot. No, I gave Sasquatch Hunters a 4, I think, because I was laughing.
No, it's awful. We both said it was awful. We couldn't even hear half the movie. Do you not remember that our episode of that?
Let me just check and see.
Okay, if you want to hear the countdown.
Okay.
And then you, every time I count down a movie, you can tell me if it's worse or better.
All right.
Okay? Well, we know number one holiday special, Star Wars holiday special is the worst.
Oh, and
yes. I would watch this 1,000 times over that.
Okay, I also give Sasquatch Hunters a 1, so you're right.
See, yeah. Okay, The Killer Eye.
Oh.
Would you watch this or that?
Oh, I thought we'd watch this again.
Exactly. The War of the Worlds on Amazon Prime.
I think I would watch The War of the Worlds again. Because Ice Cube is just, it's so bad. I think
it's good to watch with a drink and some friends, but it is really, really bad. And that's the only reason
I know, but at least it's, you could see what's happening on the screen. And at least it's, you know.
Wow, I'd rather watch this.
It's like, I'd the production value is better. I mean.
Oh. That movie was an advertisement for fucking Amazon Prime and Tesla.
Oh, God.
And you're okay with that?
I'm not okay with it. No.
No, this is better. I don't care. Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, God, I hate that movie.
Yeah, this is better.
Yeah, I guess so.
Nick Fury, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I gave that a 2. So.
I think this is better.
All right.
One-eyed monster.
One-eyed monster. Ron Jeremy.
His penis.
I mean, at least we laughed in that one. I think I gave that one a 3. So we're going to have to. No. That one stays where it is.
Okay, I'm just going to say One-Eyed Monster, Vampirilla, Sasquatch Hunters, and the Black Cat from 1981.
All right, well, I think you should put this right above One-Eyed Monster.
Wow.
That's what I think.
Wow. That means you would watch Sasquatch Hunter and Vampirilla. And all right, it's going at number 6, I disagree, but all right.
This movie is bad. There's nothing redeeming about it.
So you're going to be mad at me when I put on the sequel.
We're not doing a goddamn sequel. I mean, if you're making me sit through that, what is it? Is that one going to be 1 hour and 5 minutes? Because how could they do a sequel? Everyone's dead.
Yeah.
How could they do a sequel?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I mean, the bad guys are all dead.
I really didn't look into it because I didn't want to have any spoilers.
Unless one of the cats took over the factory and is now grinding up.
Well, let's just say this. Corpse Grinders 2 came out in 2000.
Okay, no. That shit was filmed on a cell phone.
Oh, it's an hour and 42 minutes.
Okay, no. That's insane.
There's like elves in it.
Nope. That's not sweetening the deal. Nope. Now, anyway, that brings us to our segment of why we can't have nice things, where I'll read out 2 extremes of internet reviews, 1 star and a 10 star, as proof that people ruin the rating system and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be someone that screws it up for the rest of us because people can't review movies. Now, I did find several ones, and a lot of these reviews are super, super long. So I'm just going to read this one that I found. 1 out of 10, Grindhouse. Yep, this is the one that gave the genre its name. And well-earned. Doesn't get much schlockier than this. Flatly shot almost entirely indoors in spare, bare all-purpose, nondescript locations. Flatly lit. Plotting a pedestrian script flatly delivered by mostly bottom-shelf actors. Particularly egregious is one supposed to be threatening ogre type. Perfectly cast physically, but can't, for the life of him, read a line without sounding like he's reading a line. So you know what happens to him. I guess that he's talking about the grave robber guy. To somewhat alleviate the dearth of sexy in the plot lines, included is as blatant a gratuitous striptease. I can't even read this. I can't. I can't even read that. Anyway, they're saying, this guy is basically saying, he says, I don't know if it's due to deterioration of the film quality over the years, but the cat food produced looks more like bloody vomit or diarrhea. On the other hand, some pet food product does actually look like that. So maybe it's a touch of realism. And a sweeter, more docile pack of man-eating cats couldn't be found. The pits. So I skipped the middle of this because it was just a bunch of silliness I didn't even understand. The guy is overusing punctuation. Sometimes they don't use it at all, but there's overuse of punctuation, which has me pausing at inopportune times. So anyway, that's a 1 out of 10. It's the pits. There's another 1 out of 10 that's titled You've Got to Be Kidding, which I think they were. I think they were kidding because no one can take this movie seriously.
I don't know. All right.
I don't know. But there is one 10 star. It is
God bless them.
Literally 4 paragraphs long and is probably written by a crew member and we're not going there. But yeah, what I'm going to do is pick a 6.
A 6? Yeah. Why a 6? I guess that does make sense. A 6 would be really high.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wouldn't go so far as to say Corpse Grinders is a good movie, but it's fun, fast-paced, and certainly bizarre enough to hold the attention of any B-movie fan. A sudden epidemic of house cats attacking their owners leads a doctor and a nurse to suspect that the culprit is an ingredient in a popular cat food. It's a seedy, gritty, offbeat little horror flick with amusingly earnest performances and some amateurish lighting, photography, and set design. Highly recommend for low-budget horror movie enthusiasts. It will also make those who grew up in the 70s and 80s nostalgic for those days when movies like this played at midnight shows at the local theater and received full coverage in Fangoria. So break out your Mark of the Devil barf bag and your Gruesome Twosome Certificate of Assurance and get ready for an evening of weirdness. Bare boobs and plenty of corpse grinding? Okay, well, we watched this on YouTube and there were no boobs. So I don't know how.
Where would the boobs be?
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. Maybe it was our nurse. She had big honkers. But they never showed them on the YouTube. I'm telling you, we cannot watch these movies on YouTube. We're not getting the full effect. Okay? I want some boobs at the end of this if I have to sit through this crap.
What else could have happened?
I don't know. They cut the shit out of these movies on YouTube.
Not all the time.
They just do. Anyway, so this is, I found another 1 out of 10 I want to read. This is, no redeeming qualities whatsoever. Deserving to be called one of the world's worst movies. Talk about a low budget. How about no budget? Yes, that bad. A creepy tale of a factory whose cat food transforms mild-mannered felines into man-eating beasts. Trying to act in this movie are Sean Kenny, Warren Ball, Sanford Mitchell, and the busty Monica Kelly. Fun to hoot and holler at. That's a terrible review.
Honestly.
Anyways. That's all I got. None of these are really noteworthy.
Well, look, I gotta tell you something, okay? The Corpse Grinders 2 is the last movie that Dolores Fuller ever made.
Dolores Fuller? For real?
Yeah.
She's in that?
Yeah.
Are you trying to get me to watch it?
I had to tell you that. Insanity.
Okay, Dolores Fuller worked with Ed Wood. She also was very prominent in the music industry. She wrote a couple of Elvis Presley songs as well. She's kind of a bad movie B actress all-star. But she's also pretty decent songwriter. You're not sweetening the deal on me. No.
Oh God. This is I thought it was fun. It didn't really hit the criteria. And I don't know if it's selling us on the cat movies.
No. Told you the cat movies suck. Dogs rule. Dog movies have been killing it. I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry. It's the dog movies for the win. And this one wasn't even really about cats. It was just like two idiots grinding up corpses and feeding them to cats. And we only really have, what, one murder by a cat that's, like, got any blood on it? There's nothing. Fuck this movie.
All right, then. So, you know what? That's where we throw in the towel for this week.
Yeah.
You know what? If you guys saw Corpse Grinders 2, if you were in Corpse Grinders 1, we'd love to hear about it. Tell us all of the information on the corpse grinding.
The people that worked on Corpse Grinders, the first one, are like in a retirement home right now.
I will say that I've had shockingly more people reach out to me from the film companies that of the movies we've done than other people. So you never know. So,
I mean, you've had a couple, but newer films. This movie was from 1971. I don't even know where these people are on Earth, if they're still on Earth anymore.
I love when people reach out and go, hey, my mother worked. We had someone recently say, hey, on The Breed. Or no, it was The Pack from the 77. Someone said, oh, you know what? My mother was there during the filming of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And all this information, it gave me all this information that the movie The Birds was filmed there. And that's the kind of stuff I want to hear. And I love it so much. That's the kind of stuff that makes me happy. Someone gives me wild information that I couldn't find when I did the review.
Well, so, that's kind of cool.
You know what, guys? Tell me what you think about corpse grinding. Tell me if you feed your cat Lotus cat food and how they react. I'd love to hear about it.
Well, I have to tell you something. Monica Kelly, who played the nurse in this movie, is 104 years old. She is alive.
God bless her. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I just read that.
Maybe she'll reach out to me. You never know.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Maybe she'll say, my honkers are real and they were spectacular. Until next time, everybody. Thanks for listening. Hit us up on social media on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. She's not making corpse grinder earrings, but she might. You never know.
I'll make them out of your real flesh. I'll grind up some Scotty flesh.
Wow.
I'll make some earrings out of your toes.
Oh my God. See what I had to deal with? Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Please don't. It wasn't my fault. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. I didn't mean to hurt you. I just want to. And then have you hold me. I just want to touch you. I want to hold you. I'm no killer. Surely you understand that. Now if I take my hand away, you won't scream, will you? You won't scream again?
Okay.
You going somewhere, Moppy? Got a going away present for you.
No, Leonard, no!